almost any big city, the centers of medicine and surgery are big too. The hospitals, designed to serve thousands at a time, are equipped with the most modern devices and staffed by specialists and expert technicians. But what of the small towns? No huge medical centers here, no imposing hospitals, no large labs for research. In small towns, doctors like this one must serve all the health needs of the community. The man who cares for these people can't specialize in one type of disease. He can't leave the rest of the long catalog of sicknesses to other physicians. In a way, though, the small town doctor is a specialist too, a specialist in humanity. To doctors like Dr. John Wade of Ohio, USA, each patient is a personality, not merely a mechanism to be set to rights. It's one of the rewards of his calling to watch some of the personalities develop from babyhood. Some of his patients, in turn, have watched him grow and develop. Young and old, the people in this community are his friends, as he is theirs. The patients in Dr. Wade's office any morning are a town in miniature. His services and his skill are at the disposal of rich and poor alike. Mid-morning finds the doctor at one of the town schools. Today is inoculation day for the children of the first grade. Compulsory vaccination has wiped out smallpox in this area. Inoculations against diphtheria have sharply decreased the dangers of epidemics which once carried off thousands of children every year in this region. The prick of the hypodermic needle means safety for these little boys and girls. And they can believe the doctor when he says it doesn't hurt a bit. Although Dr. Wade's name may never appear in medical journals, he and others like him make their contribution to preventive medicine day after day. They are the link between the research laboratory and the people. The doctor keeps up with progress in his profession and passes his knowledge on to others. Once a week, his crowded schedule crams in a visit to the hospital in a nearby city for consultations. This morning, Dr. Wade is explaining the use of penicillin, a drug which prevents or halts infection in a matter of hours. The doctor's three children and their friends greet his return in the early afternoon as a big event. Lunchtime gives the doctor a short rest and a chance to talk over the morning's happenings with his wife. Mrs. Wade, a former graduate nurse, is a great help to her husband. When telephone calls come in for him, she knows where he can be reached and can give instructions on what to do until he arrives. Today, Mrs. Wade knows the doctor can finish his lunch before answering the latest call. She sees to it that the doctor takes his own advice about eating slowly and relaxing after meals. After his brief luncheon recess, Dr. Wade answers a call from a Bennett farm, a few miles out of town. Mrs. Bennett thought her husband had had a heart attack and was afraid to let him climb the stairs to the bedroom. She'd kept him absolutely still, as Mrs. Wade advised, until the doctor came to examine him. Tom Bennett has been doing the work of three men lately, trying to manage his farm without help. In the Midwestern summer heat, it's no wonder even a strong young man like Tom suddenly found the work too heavy. Dr. Wade will see if he can find someone to help on the farm until Tom gets better. A good rest and Tom will be up and about again in no time. There's nothing to worry about. It's just overexertion. After the visits to new patients, there are follow-up calls to be made. Mary Sawyer is the first case on the checkup list today. She still hasn't gotten over a long bout with the flu. The new sulfa drugs brought her fever down, but they left her weak and listless. The doctor knows she'll regain her strength soon, but her parents are afraid she's getting worse. Without their knowing it, Dr. Wade treats Mary's parents almost like patients themselves. The first prescription is a confident reassurance that she'll be all right. And the doctor has found that it's a good idea to keep anxious relatives busy with instructions for the care of their patient so they'll have less time for worry. Next, the doctor stops in to see the Clark family. Don't suspect that this is a professional visit to check on Mrs. Clark's heart condition. They couldn't afford it, and they'd be too proud to accept charity. So Dr. Wade lets them think it's just a social call. And so it goes for the rest of the doctor's long day. Dr. Wade reaches home just in time to play with his daughters a bit before bedtime. Sometimes he sees more of other people's children than of his own, but he tries always to be there when they say their prayers at night. It's not easy for a small-town doctor to see his friends often. Usually, his wife has to take care of most of their social obligations. But once in a while, friends and neighbors find him at home. Last year, Dr. Wade managed to get away for a week with his family and some friends. They took movies and never tire of running them. This is the hideout where the doctor escapes as often as he can. It has no telephone, on doctor's orders. Perhaps the film technique won't win any prizes, but the movies revive pleasant memories, and even a reminder of a vacation is relaxing when holidays are rare. Mrs. Wade feels it's high time the doctor took another day off. And for a doctor, the only way to do that is to get away from home. The children consider this a delightful idea. But sometimes ideas don't work as they're intended to. Just when the Bennetts and the Sawyers and the Clarks and all the others can spare Dr. Wade for a day, someone else seems to need him badly. The outing will have to be put off until another day. The surgeon at the hospital where Dr. Wade is a consultant needs immediate help in an emergency operation. This isn't the first holiday that's been spoiled. Tough luck for the family, but good luck for the patient on the operating table. This is the moment when all the doctor's skill and training are called forth. When one unsure move might mean the patient's death, but the surest of moves can guarantee only another chance at life. Once, long ago, 10 years, 15, the doctor took an oath. How did it go? Whatsoever house you shall enter, it shall be for the good of the sick to the utmost of your power. When he resolved to live by that code, John Wade became what he is today, doctor of medicine, servant of humanity.